This morning, I want to talk to you about something that, if I were to get you to raise your hand, I imagine every one of you that's old enough to deal with it has dealt with it. And we're talking about stress. Stress, and the words that are family or kin to it. Anxiety, pressure, worry, all of those things that can hinder us. Stress can have a huge effect on you. It can have effect on us physically and spiritually. I was reading recently about this subject to prepare for the lesson, and I was reading about an experiment that was done. I had never heard of this, but apparently they used to do stress experiments on some animals. Nothing harmful to the creature so far as I know, but in one particular experiment, they took a couple of monkeys, and they put these monkeys in a chair, and their feet were planted on some metal, and the metal on occasion, every few minutes, would electrocute them. That sounds harsh, but it was very mild, just a discomfort that it would give the monkeys. And the particular monkey that they started with, he was given a lever. And when he pulled that lever, the electric shock would not happen. And in order for the monkey to know when the shock was coming, there was a lamp that would light up 20 seconds before the strike would come. And as long as the monkey pulled the lever in those 20 seconds, he would not be shocked. He learned very quickly how that process worked, and he would consistently do it. Well, to properly do the experiment, they put another monkey right beside him with the same setup, but with one difference. That monkey's lever did not work. And quickly, this monkey, they called him the executive monkey because he had greater responsibility. He realized that his partner monkey's lever didn't work. It's fascinating to me how smart these animals are. And so he would pull the lever for both lights. And this process went on for several, I guess it was days, I don't know how long the experiment lasted. But for a time, nothing happened. But in time, eventually, they began to notice that the monkey that was in control of both the levers, began to develop stomach ulcers. The monkey who was not in charge, who did not have responsibility, his health was unchanged. And so very quickly, they began to realize the effects that stress can have on one's body, even on these animals. Certainly as humans, when we have stress, we see the results. It can physically cause us to have stomach problems. We can have indigestion. We can have problems digesting our food, stomach pains. We can become bloated. You've been there. You can have headaches from stress. I'm talking about very, very headaches that just cause you to basically shut down, similar to migraines that can last for hours. You can have problems with your throat. You can have problems with virtually any part of the body because of what stress can do, and it's all right here, all in our minds. But boy, does it have an effect on us. More importantly, though, it can have a spiritual effect. It can cause us to lose our spiritual health, and we're going to see why in this lesson. What I want to do is, with the time that we have, to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ, to look at a day in the life of Christ and see how He handled stress. And then I want to talk about the primary door that is open that our Lord gives us as to why we have stress. And then finally, I want to conclude with some practical ways to help us deal with it. So let's jump into it. By way of introduction, I want to mention Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. Mine's upside down, even though yours isn't. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, we don't serve a high priest, the Hebrew writer says, that cannot be touched with our feeling of infirmities. He was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. I want you to focus on that phrase, our feeling of infirmities. Every aspect of our Lord's life was similar and fully compatible with that of what we live. He was completely 100% a human as much as He was God. And in that human body, He experienced both physical discomfort and what we may not think about sometimes is He also experienced mental, emotional stress, anxiety, discomfort. Think about, there's so many examples we could talk about, the at least three occasions we know when He wept, when Jesus cried in emotional pain. We think about the fact that His entire life He was looking to the cross and what was going to happen, how stressful that must have been. When you think of that, really our stress pales in comparison to that mental anxiety that possibly could have been there. But I want you to go to Mark 2 with me, and let's look at a day in the life of Christ. Mark chapter 2, and see how He handled stress. We're going to look through about the first 17 or so verses. And in doing this, I don't know what this says to you, but to me it says stress. At least things that for me, and probably for many of you, if not all of you as well, causes stress in our lives. A lot of the same comparisons. Chapter 2, begin with me in verse 1. Mark 2, verse 1. Again he entered, that is Christ, Capernaum, after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, you can imagine that, how crowded it was, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now picture this. Our Lord, he's in Capernaum. This is all in one day now. He's in this home, and it is crowded. It's probably very hot. You can only imagine the press, the pressure that's on him, the press that is there, the crowds. And everybody needs him. Everybody wants some of his time. And there's this group of individuals who have this gentleman who's sick of the palsy. And instead of waiting in line, if you will, they decide to bring him down through the roof. Right? Do you know people like this who stress you out because they're tugging at your time? Right? They don't appreciate the fact that, or at least this is what we think to ourselves, they don't appreciate the fact that I've got so many other things going on. I've got to deal with this family situation. I've got this going on at work. I've got this mental anxiety about some personal thing that's going on. Whatever it is, my time is consumed, and yet they need me, and they need me now. Right? It's something that to me is insignificant, but to them it's a big deal. But they're so disrespectful, right? How do we handle that when people tug at our time? How do we respond? Now, Jesus, how did he respond? He could have been very upset. He could have said maybe what we're sometimes thinking, you know, listen, you need to get in line. I've got a lot of other people to deal with. We've all been there. I can't handle this right now. You're going to have to wait. But look at what he did. You saw verse 5. He saw their faith. That's very important. We'll reference that again in a little bit. But he saw their faith. He knew their hearts, and he knew how much they wanted Jesus to help them. And instead of responding the way we sometimes might, and I say we sometimes might, and wanting to put them on hold, he felt compassion for them, and he helped them anyways. How did he do that? Well, we'll get there. Let me show you another instance, though. If that's not enough, then look at what happens in the very same setting, the same day, within the same hour, verse 6. There were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Can you imagine being an enemy of our Lord and sitting there? That must be pretty disheartening to not even say it out loud, but to think it and for the Lord to respond to it. Right? That's something to think about, because the fact is, we may not realize it, but he can hear our thoughts today as well, just on a side note. We may not say things out loud, but when we think them, when we're bitter towards people or bitter towards these stressful situations, he hears it. And when we're doing that towards brethren, you know what he says? He says, you're doing that to me, right? But nonetheless, verse number 9, whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Jesus says, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Right? One shows divine power, his power to perform this miracle. One shows divine authority to say, thy sins are forgiven. Either way, it shows that he's from heaven. And in another sense, just saying something is a lot easier than performing a miracle, right? And so we can see his statement there, why he would say that. It's easier to say, thy sins be forgiven. But he had a lesson, verse 10, that they would know that while he was on earth, he could forgive sins. Do you have individuals like this in your life that are just waiting to pounce on you? They're just waiting for that moment to criticize you. Now, don't misunderstand me. Sometimes some constructive criticism can do us good, and we need to receive that well. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those like these scribes who just constantly are waiting for the opportunity to tell you what you do wrong. They're not, you know, it reminds me of the illustration of the man who had a dog that was trained to pull his lawnmower. He had some physical issues, and so the dog would pull this lawnmower, and one day the particular individual was jogging down the sidewalk, and the dog stopped and started barking. And the gentleman that was jogging apologized for disrupting the man's work, and he said, no, he said, I apologize to you, because the dog's barking. He's barking so that he can have a moment to relax. He said, because it's much easier to bark than to pull the lawnmower. There's a lot of truth to that. You know what I'm talking about. Right? That being said, and we have that mindset, and it's true, and that's why you see a lot of times when somebody has an idea and they tell you do this or that, the response is, well, you just go ahead and head that up. You just go ahead and take, that's a great idea, go do it, right? Well, here's the point, though. Nonetheless, people criticize it, and sometimes you just get those that no matter what you do, no matter how good it's done, they're going to criticize you anyways. They're going to find that fault in it, and it's as if they're just sitting there, and you almost want to avoid those people. You have those kind of people in your life? Jesus had those. All the time he had those that would criticize his every move, even though he was doing good things. Let's keep going. Verse number 12. Oh, by the way, how did he respond to that? That's important. He treated this legitimately. He explained. He didn't have to. You know, we sometimes say we don't have to explain ourselves. We don't owe them an explanation. And while that's true, you really don't, he did. He explained it anyways. And he did what was best. He handled it well. How did he do it? We're going to get there. Verse 12, though. Immediately then he arose. He took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." He went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, "Follow me," and he arose and followed. Verse 15, others follow him as well. You say, well, this isn't stressful, right? This is a good thing. He's doing a good deed. Two things I want to draw from this. Number one, kind of on a parenthetical note, I guess you would say, he realized, or he had an experience here amongst all the negative that was positive. He had a moment when his goal that he was ultimately here to do, save the lost, it was happening, and some good was being done. But sometimes, in the midst of all the negative of a day, and you've been there when 90% of the day is bad and you just have a little bit of good, we focus on that negative instead of the positive. And so on a side note here, we need to remember the fact that there is a lot of blessings in our life. We need to focus on those things. Again, it's all up here, this stress and anxiety. But nonetheless, I want to also mention that this can too be stressful. Because you have Jesus, again, this is why he came. He came to seek and save the lost. And he's got so many individuals that are constantly kind of pulling him away from that mission. Lord, help me with this. Help me with this. Do this. Save this person. Perform this miracle. Show me this sign. And most of the time, he would do that. It's stressful because the things you want to get done, you can't always get them done. You get to do some good, but you just don't get to do as much as you want. I'd really like to spend more time on this, and it's a good thing, but I just can't. I just don't have time. I feel like I'm wasting time. I'm not doing things. I'm not feeling accomplished at the end of the day. That can be stressful too. And you can imagine our Lord and how anxious he was and how much he cared about these people's souls, how much he wanted to do more. But then verses 16 and 17, and we'll move on. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw that he was eating with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, "How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And this kind of goes back to the previous thought, but I want to focus more on this aspect of calling your good evil. Right? It's one thing to be criticized. It's another to just outright say that the good that you've just done was no good at all. Do you know people like that? They call your evil good. They call your good evil, rather. That can work both ways. But in this case, you're doing something good, something that's beneficial spiritually speaking, and they just bring you down anyways. Right? It goes right back to what we were talking about. Here's the point, though. Here's what I want to get at. Jesus dealt with stress. He went through all of this. This is just one day in the life of Christ. How in the world did he respond so well? How did he not just break down? We've had those moments when we just shut down and that day's pretty much over. We just want to lay in the bed and just make it all go away. How did Jesus not have those moments? Well, the answer is in Matthew chapter 6. Turn over there with me. Matthew chapter 6. Let's go to school, if you will, and sit at the feet of the Master and learn, how did Jesus deal with this stress? Matthew chapter 6, verse 27. Now what we're about to read, and again, as I was preparing this and thinking about myself, I have stress in my life, and so it's hard for me to hear this, and it may be hard for you to hear this as well, but it's what the Lord says. Look at verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We're going to come back to this, but look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? That's hard for me to read, because what Jesus in essence is saying is what's attributed to your stress and anxiety and your worry is a lack of what, church? Verse 30. Lack of faith. And that's hard to hear because I have stress in my life. And so what I've got to realize, what we all have to realize, is having that stress and not handling it properly is a problem with our faith. It's a lack of faith on our part. Not that we don't have some faith, but it's not where it needs to be if that stress is getting the better of us. There are four times that I find in my New Testament that we see the phrase, O ye of little faith. And it was interesting to me to find that the other three cases that I'm about to show you all correspond with this idea of stress and anxiety. When there is a lack of faith where it needs to be, there is going to be stress. And it is going to affect us very much so, very greatly. Let me show you those cases. Put your marker, and I'll do the same here at Matthew 6. We're going to conclude here in just a moment. But before we do, I want to look at these cases. Put your marker there and go to Matthew chapter 8 for the first one. Matthew chapter 8. Verse number 26. Now leading up to this, again, this is Jesus. He's on a ship with many followers and a storm comes. And this storm is very bad. In fact, the waves are coming up, the Bible says, over the ship, landing on the ship. That's a pretty scary thing, I would think. But look at verse 24. Behold, there arose a tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with waves, but he, that is Jesus, was asleep. Could you imagine? Can you imagine sleeping during a storm? The whole boat's rocking, the waves are hitting it. What a message. That is peace, isn't it? Verse 25, in the midst of a storm. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We perish. They're stressed out. They're worrying. They're anxious. Why? Verse 26. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? There it is again. What is he attributing this stress to? It's a lack of faith. And what are they doing? They're fearing. It was interesting, again, as I was doing some research on this, that one of the greatest symptoms of stress commonly is irrational fears that are accompanied with that stress. You begin to fear things that you really shouldn't fear. You might fear something, maybe you've got some discomfort in the body and you are afraid that you're going to lose your life because of it. You just stress and worry and you exaggerate that. It might just be a cold. It might be a bruise. But you're afraid that it's a horrible disease that's going to take your life. Right? You fear things. You exaggerate those fears. Maybe you're afraid of the dark. Maybe you're afraid of an object or a clown. For some reason, there's a lot of folks that are afraid of clowns. I think it's because of a movie that was back in the day. I don't know. But whatever it is that you're fearful of, maybe you constantly worry about a relative that you're afraid is going to lose their life. Friends, go back to this particular scenario. Why was it that Jesus was so calm? How could he be so calm in the midst of such a scary situation? Well, he had great faith, but he understood something. And this is what I need to understand, what we all need to understand. What is the worst that can happen? Think about that for a minute. What is the worst possible thing that can happen? A life is taken. We lose our life. Maybe it's a painful thing, but we die. If you're a child of God, is that really that bad? Is that really something to be afraid of? For us, it's not. Now, if you're not a child of God, that's a different story. If you're not a child of God, I hope that it does stress you out. And I mean that with love, because I hope that will anxiety and stress will motivate you to make the changes. There's no peace outside of Christ. You're going to be stressed and be anxious and worry, and you have reason to because your soul is at stake. But if you're a child of God, what is there really to fear? What is the worst that can happen? And is that really that scary? Again, do we really think about it that way? Let me keep going, though. Time is fleeting. Matthew chapter, I believe, 14. Yeah, chapter 14 is next. I'll just mention this, and we'll reference the verse in particular. But this is the case of Jesus walking on the water. It's the fourth watch, which would be 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., sometime in that. We're talking about the middle of the night, early morning, as it were. And Jesus is walking across the water, and they see him, And, you know, could you imagine, let's say it's 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, they're probably thinking, man, I'm really tired, right? I'm seeing something. They think this is a ghost. What would you think? You see somebody walking on the water, that would be kind of creepy, I guess, for lack of a better word. Verse 27, though, Jesus says, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. There's that fear again. But on a side note here, if you could hear that voice every time you were stressed or anxious, wouldn't you be able to calm the storms around you? If you could hear that voice, I can only imagine the relief that they got. And while we don't hear His voice, we can certainly read it in the New Testament and be comforted. But verse 31, let's skip ahead. Peter wants to come out and walk on water as well, and he's got great faith here. The Lord allows him to do so, but look at verse 31. He's getting afraid, the tempest about him grows great, and he cries out at the end of verse 30, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, here it is again, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? This time he attributes that lack of faith, that stress and that concern and worry that Peter all of a sudden got, to doubt. Again, this is another one that hits home with us, because sometimes when we get stressed out, it's because we're doubting. Why else would we be worried if we knew everything was going to work out? But we forget that. We let Satan convince us that it's not going to work out, that this will never change, this situation, whatever it is, it's only going to get worse, it's not going to get better, and I'm doubting. Nothing attributes closer to a lack of faith than doubt. Peter had very great faith, and many of you do as well. I like to think that I have great faith. But sometimes the storm gets hard, just like with Peter. Peter had great faith, but even he got a little doubtful at a moment. And when that moment hits, and we let ourselves doubt, then that stress is going to take over. That anxiety is going to overwhelm. One last one, Matthew 16 in verse 8. In a discussion with his disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees, his disciples think he's upset. He references leaven. He's talking about sin. But his disciples think he's mad because they forgot to bring bread on the trip. And Jesus, I love his response. We don't have time to read it. But Jesus says to them, in essence, why don't you guys get it? Have you not seen what I did with 5 loaves, 4,000? Have you not seen what I did with the fish and the loaves when it came to the 4,000? All of these miracles that you've seen, how are you not getting it? He says, how do you not see that this is a spiritual application and not a physical one? Friends, sometimes, he says, oh, ye of little faith in that case as well. Sometimes we're missing it because of our point of view. We're looking at things physically, right? I'm concerned about a bill. I've got a bill that I've got to pay and my finances, and that's concerning, but that's not really as important as spiritual things. I'm looking at this all wrong. Maybe one of the worst is this concern with our physical bodies. We worry and we stress, and oh, I gained 2 more pounds this month. That's all, it's just all over with. Life is over, right? And I say that jokingly, but there's a lot of people that really stress about their weight and their looks, and we're thinking of it all wrong. Our point of view needs to be changed. Stop looking at this life physically as a fleshly being and start being concerned with what your soul's health is like. That is what matters. Our point of view has to change. Now go back to Matthew 6. We need to conclude. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. Let's back up a little bit. Three things, very quickly, I promise. Three things I want to give you how to handle stress, okay? It's attributed to a lack of faith. But how can I do better? Jesus, what can I do to make it better? Here's some pointers that he gives us. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet your body when you shall put on. What you shall put on, rather. Is not your life more than meat, and the body than raiment? In the first place, you've got to define the source. Jesus says, ask yourself, in essence, what is it that you're concerned with? Okay? Here's the step one. What am I stressing over? I'm going to stop in my tracks, and I'm going to think. What is it that's stressing me out right now? All right? Is it important? Is it something that's physical? Is it about putting clothes? Is it a necessity of life? Because God says, I'll take care of that. Right? Is this something worth worrying about? That's question number one. Now, how do you know the answer? We're about to get there. Look at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? In the second place, you need to change your point of view. Or I would put it this way. Remember who you are. Right? Have you ever seen Lion King? Many of you have probably seen that movie. When I hear that phrase, I think about Mufasa telling Simba. Remember, he had gone off and he was better than what he was doing. He needed to come back and do his role, take his part as the king and all this. And Mufasa says, remember who you are. There's a lot of truth to that, spiritually speaking. We serve the king. I'm not talking about Mufasa. I'm talking about Jesus the Christ. He says, you need to remember who you are. Because you know that God takes care of the sparrow. He takes care of the fowls of the air. Right? They put their food in the barns or whatever it is that you want to think about. The lilies of the field. All of those things. And yet you don't think God's going to work this out for you? What does he say in verse 33? All the necessities of life, if you're seeking first the kingdom, will be added unto you. Right? We've got to remember that everything, it's Romans 8:28. That's really what it comes down to. We've got to remember that everything's going to work out. We know that passage. All things work together for good to them that are the called, that are living their life according to His purpose. But do you remember the first three words of that verse? And we know. That's what we're missing. That's where our point of view needs to change. We know that everything is going to work for good according to the plan of God as long as we're faithful to Him. The worst situation that you can ever deal with, God will make good of that. And if we truly believe it, that'll help us to deal with our stress. Jesus says that's going to help you deal with your anxiety. Remember who you are. You're a Christian, if you are. If you're a faithful child of God, there's really nothing to worry about. Finally, though, verse 27. How do I know if it's something to worry about or worth worrying about? Verse 27, I believe, is the answer. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Here's the answer to the question. Is this something I can actually control? Is this something I can do something about? Friends, I'll save you a lot of time. Instead of going to the counselors, instead of taking muscle-relaxing medications, this is what they're going to tell you. I sat in a class, and I was blessed to do so, with Dr. Jerry Martin, who has a doctorate in some form of counseling. I forget the exact degree path, but this is what he said, and this is what our Lord is saying too. And this is good advice. It's the best advice of all. If you cannot control it, don't worry about it. Right? He said to write it down on a piece of paper. Write the things you can control and the things you can't. And on the side of the things you can't, rip that paper in half and throw that away. Because as Jesus says here, you can think about being taller all you want. You can spend your entire life being anxious about it and stressing about it. How much taller are you going to get because of that stress? Not a bit. Not a bit. If you can't control it, then why worry about it? Now, on the flip side, if you can, then I would ask this question. Have you already done everything that you can do? Sometimes you can't control it, but you've already done the best you can, and it's just not where it needs to be yet in your mind. Right? You've got a loved one whose health is not well. Have you prayed for them? Because that's all you can do. Other than that, it's out of your control. So stop worrying and have faith. I wish I had time to go and just list a bunch of these, but you think about you as a person, as I do, as me as an individual, and think about how this applies. What is it that you're stressed out about? Do you have control of it? Because we do have a part to play. And if you have a part you need to do, then do it. Leave it to God, the rest to Him, pray about it, and stop worrying about it. It's going to affect you physically, and more importantly, it's going to affect you spiritually. I hope that in some way this has been of help to you. If you don't deal with stress, this lesson really wasn't for you. But it will help you to help others, hopefully. And when that stressful situation does arrive, I hope that we can focus our minds to be better able to deal with it. Does this really matter? Can I really change it? And am I looking this correctly? Am I looking at this physically or spiritually? Friends, Jesus had a lot of stress. And we can look to Him to be our guide through these stressful situations. If you're not a child of God this morning, I would encourage you to become one. Because the fact is, if you're dealing with stress and anxiety, the greatest comfort and truly the only comfort in which you can have is in Jesus Christ. But if you're not a child of God, then you do have concern to be worried. Because your soul is at stake. You know what to do. Believe in Jesus as the Son of God. Repent of sin. Confess His name and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. We would love to add you to the church this very, very morning. And you can pillow your head tonight getting rid of the greatest stress load that you've ever had. Your soul. And whether or not you're going to be in heaven. Maybe you are a child of God, but you've let sin back into your life. Maybe you've let stress get the better of you and you need our prayers and thoughts for you. Maybe it's something else that's going on. But if you're not a faithful child of God, if you're not right with Him at this moment, then you're missing out on the greatest comfort you could ever imagine. You want to be able to sleep in the time of a storm like Christ? You've got to put Him on. You've got to be faithful to Him and do His will and remember who you are. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come right now? Let's make it right as we stand and sing together.